The following broadcast is a presentation of the Mountford Free Methodist Church in Decatur, Illinois. Join us Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. or visit us on the web at decaturfmc.org.
Well, how many of you this morning are afraid of heights? Anybody afraid of heights? Yeah, a couple of people. Actually, more than I thought. I'm afraid of heights. But I like to be the type of person that likes to conquer my fears every now and then. For Peyton's birthday a couple of weeks ago, we brought him to the high ropes course-ish thing in Decatur. And I looked at it and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to be the great daddy and take him up on this high ropes course. And once I got to the top level, I was shaken. And I'm looking down and I'm like, oh yeah, go ahead. You have fun, boys. I'll be here cheering you on. But I like to conquer my fears every now and then. A couple of years ago, I took the family to a water park, and at the water park, they had the biggest slide. I think it was called something like the Giant Drop. It was the tallest slide, and the slide was as simple as it just goes straight down, and that was it. And so I measured Peyton, and I saw that Peyton was just at the right height to go on down that slide. So I'm looking up, and I'm looking at Peyton, and Peyton was like, hey, I can go down this slide. Will you go with me? And I'm like, yeah, I will. I was so proud of him for wanting to do it. And so we start going up the stairs, and I remember like halfway up the stairs thinking, hey, we can just turn around now if you want, but if you want to finish it, we can do that too. And so we got up to the very end or to the very top, and we're looking out, and now it's even our turn, and it's two slides at once, so we can both kind of try to race each other, if you will. But I'm sitting there, and I know, well, I'm committed now. There's no turning back. And so I look over at him, and he goes down. And I'm like, well, here we go. And so I go down as well. And when I get down to the very bottom, I looked over at Peyton, and I'm like, wow, was that the best ride ever? And he said, I don't want to do that again this year. But he did it again the next year. I also remember when I was a teenager, I went, I was rappelling down a mountain. And that when you rappel, if you've ever rappelled, there's like this point of no return. You know what I mean? Like once you're at the tip of the mountain and you're like, well, I really can turn around now if I want. But once you start kind of walking backwards and all of your weight is on the rope, you know what I'm talking about? And you know there's no turning back now. Like, I am all in. And so it's a scary moment. Like, that moment of first going back is the scariest moment. And once you do it, and once you get down, you're thinking, wow, that was fun. I'm glad I did that. But it's that point of being committed. It's that point of being all in. And the truth is, sometimes in our society today, we have people who are afraid of the commitment, of getting to that point of I'm all in, getting to that point that I'm committed. Commitment, we are talking about this morning as one of our words to change your family. James McDonald says, commitment is a powerful tool for family transformation. Rick Warren says, your commitments can develop you or destroy you, but either way, they will define you. Are you being someone who is committed? But we see even more in our society today that commitment is just becoming less and less of a thing. We see it even in our marriages today. We see how commitment is really becoming less and less. More and more people are just not all that committed when it comes down to it. We see sometimes if you're a guy, this is maybe a guy's thing, I don't know, but how many times do us guys, we start a project, but yet we're not fully committed to it, and maybe we don't completely finish it? I know I've fallen into that before. Do you know that there's actually a word called commitment phobia? It's an actual word. You know what that is, the fear of commitment. Well, we have that today. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, we're going to start in verse 25. Now, before I read this, I want to just give you a warning. These words that we are about to read are hard words to read for some people. And we're going to explain it a little bit as we go through. But these words are basically words of Jesus calling for commitment to people. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. This is in the middle of Jesus really kind of teaching and preaching to the people. In verse 25, it says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said. So we see that large crowds are following Jesus wherever he is going. We see this throughout the gospel. Large crowds are following him because they see all the signs and all the miracles that he's doing. So now all of these people are wanting to be where Jesus is. If you have joined us on Sunday night, we're going through a book called Not a Fan, where we talk about, are you a fan of Jesus or are you a follower of Jesus? What we see here, a lot of these people in this large crowd following Jesus are fans of his. They wanted to see the miraculous signs. They wanted to be with the rest of the crowd. And so they joined Jesus in this. And so he's walking, and these large crowds are following him. And now he turns, and this is what he tells this crowd. If anyone comes to me and does not hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Talking about putting a damper on the parade. Now, Jesus does this several times. Several times we see the crowds that are following him and the people who are excited about Jesus and the things that he is doing, and then he turns and basically he is calling them for commitment. And he's saying, I want you to be all in. And if you're not all in, then stop following me. And he's calling that to us today. But here's where we struggle with this verse. We struggle with the word hate. It's a harsh word. So I looked up the Greek meaning of the word hate. And guess what I found? That it meant hate. Whoa, what? Well, that's not helpful. But then we see this in another portion of Scripture, almost the exact same words. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Now, these are almost the exact same words, but in the account of Matthew, and this is how Matthew says it. He says, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And then he goes on to say, now take up your cross and follow me. And so we basically come to the conclusion of what Jesus is saying here is, of course, he's not saying for all of us to hate our mother and father. Jesus is not a guy of hate. He's a guy of love. What Jesus is saying is, I want you to be committed. People, I want you to love me and to put me before your mother and father, before your children, before your grandchildren, before your family, that I need to be first in your life. I need to be your commitment. That's what Jesus is saying. Again, the words of Matthew, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you put anything before God? Now it's a question that maybe a lot of us might answer right away, oh, no, I don't do that. But then once we start thinking about it a little bit more, once we maybe start being real with ourselves, we might think of some things that maybe we really are putting before God. We start thinking about things that that we get excited about more than God, things that we spend more money on than God, things that that maybe we even allow God to take a back seat because we enjoy these things in our life. Jesus is calling for commitment. And he's calling that for us. He's saying, I don't want you to be on the fence. I want you to be all in. It's either all or nothing. It's like me on that mountain going backwards. I want you to be committed. Because once you completely put your trust in me, then there's no turning back. And he's calling that for us today. He's calling for commitment. Let's continue to read. In verse 28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. Once again, Jesus is saying, I want commitment out of you. You look at it and you calculate the cost. And don't just on a whim, just say, oh yeah, Jesus, I like Jesus. He was like, calculate the cost. And I want you, I am calling you, I am begging you to be all in. I am begging you to be committed to me. But it's funny in today's society where so many people are afraid of commitment every now and then, but yet it seems like whenever we are faced with maybe our cell phone provider who says, oh yeah, by doing this, you are now committed for the next 3 years. Oh, okay, I'll write down on that line. Or maybe our TV provider of saying, well, if you want this package or maybe this channel, then you're going to be committed for the next 3 years. Okay, yeah, I'll sign on that dotted line. And so many times, so many people in our society will easily say, I will be committed to this, but yet they're not committed to the things maybe that are important. I had a good friend of mine. He came to me one day and he said, hey, if I help you with your physical body, will you help me with my spiritual body? I said, that sounds like a good bet to me. And so every day we would go walking and jogging and we would talk. And I knew him pretty well. And I knew that in his life, he was a good man. I really enjoyed him, good friend. But in his life was all about his family, which is a good thing. But it was not about God. And so he came to me and one time and he said, so I think I want to know what it means to be a Christian. And I said, okay, that's great. And I dug a little bit deeper and I said, why? Just curious, you know, why? And he said, because I think it would make my wife happy. I said, you're missing the point. You see, you're committed to your family, but God is calling you to be committed to Him. And God is saying, if you want to be a better husband and a better father, you need to first be a good child of God. And God is calling you to be committed. Maybe God is calling us to be committed. What is it in your life that you can do to be more committed to Jesus? Is there something in your life that you can do for that? Well, in your Bible, it's reminding me of another story. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. In verse 17, there's a story of a man who is wanting salvation. He's wanting eternal life. This man, we don't know his name, but what we do know of this man is he's a rich young man. He has a lot of money, and he likes his money. And so he comes to Jesus, and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the first thing that Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. But he says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. He really was a good man. He followed the rules. Now Jesus went a step further. Jesus looked at him and loved him. If you have your Bible, I would underline the word loved, because that's so important that he loved on him. And he said, one thing you lack, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come follow me. You see, Jesus here is looking this man in the eye, and he is calling for commitment. He's saying, you love money? You have a lot of money? Well, sell it, because I want to be number one in your life. It's interesting here that Jesus says a lot of these different commandments in the Ten Commandments, but the one he left out in the scripture here when he was talking to this man is the second commandment of you shall not have any other gods before me. And what Jesus is saying to him is, you are serving the God of money, and I am asking for your commitment to me. And so when Jesus calls him to do this, it says, at this the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. He couldn't do it. And how many times today do we see Jesus coming before people and calling for commitment, and people are going away sad because they just can't commit? They just can't give him all of their heart. They have too many things in their life that they like to hold on to. Even Jesus himself, in his ministry, when the scripture says that he's talking to his disciples and to the people around him, and his siblings and his mom came to see him, and Jesus said, you're my siblings now. You are my family. Now, family is so important. We love family. I think for many of us, if you want to make us mad the quickest, try to do something to our family. Because our family is so important to us. But Jesus says to us, I need your commitment. I need to be number one in your life, even more than your family. With my family, I said this even to Tiffany before we started dating. I said, one thing that I always want you to do is to love Jesus more than me. I say that to my kids all the time. To my kids, I'll go and I'll say, hey, how much does Daddy love you? Titus's response a lot of times coming back because of the book that we read is he says, I love you all the way back to the moon and back. That was his response. It's not exactly word for word from the book, but still, it's so cute and it melts my heart. I love you all the way back to the moon and back. And then I always respond back, but you know that Jesus loves you more. You see, because Jesus needs to be first in our life. And so many people are caught in the fence in today's society where they want one foot in this world and one foot with Jesus. And Jesus is saying, it's all or nothing. Commit. I don't want a part of your heart. I want it all. Stop trying to hold things back from me. Surrender. Surrender. Because I surrendered my life for you. Because there was a point in my life where I was all in and I died for you. Give me your heart, all of it. Don't be on the fence. Because I know what God says for those who are lukewarm. I'll spit them out of my mouth. Jesus is calling for commitment. And at the very end of our text in Luke, we see these words in verse 33, in the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. You see, what Jesus is doing is he's calling for commitment and he's thinning out the crowd, because I can imagine that here, when Jesus is saying this in Luke with all this crowd following him, I can imagine that after he said what he did, several of them probably turned around and stopped following. They couldn't take the commitment. So many Sundays, a lot of churches are filled with people like you and me singing one of my favorite hymns, I Surrender All. But their lives are really singing the song, I Surrender 75%, I Surrender 50%. I don't surrender all. There are things in my life that I hold back. Jesus, I want you to be a part of my life, but there are things in my life that you don't have any business being a part of. There are things in my life that I enjoy holding on to, and I am not letting go. And I'm wondering how different this world would be when people sing that song, if they truly sing it with all of their heart, all their soul, and say, I surrender all. I surrender all. all of myself, all of my heart, my family, my money, my job, I surrender it all. Jesus, there is nothing in my life that is more important than you. As we close, I just want you to close your eyes and I want you to ask yourself these questions. Just between you and God. Is there something in your life that you are committed to more than Jesus? Is there something in your life that you are committed to more than Jesus? What are things or steps in your life that you can take to surrender all of your heart to Him? What is it today that Jesus is asking you to get rid of and to come follow? What is it in your life that Jesus is asking you to get rid of and come follow? Jesus, we come before you. And Lord, I thank you for not candy coating anything. But Lord, you have called us to a deeper connection with you. You have called us to love you with all of our hearts. Jesus, as you have surrendered your life for us, may we surrender our hearts to you. And Jesus, I pray that each and every one of us will be completely committed to you, O God. Forgive us for the actions in our life that we are putting other things before you. Forgive us for making things in our life where you take the back seat. Help us to know what it truly means to be your disciple and to follow you. And help us to calculate the cost and to be all in and to be committed. I know as we do this that there is a fear, as there is a fear in me with heights, but Lord, you have told us in your scripture that fear does not come from you, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you have calling us to trust in you and to give you our everything. May we do that. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close, we're going to close of singing I Surrender All. And I encourage you, as we sing this song, let's completely sing it with all of our hearts. And let's truly give Him our all. And as we sing this, the altars are always open. That if you just need to come and to say, I'm not giving you my all, and I want to, will you come? Will you come? If you just need to spend time with the Lord, will you come? But let's surrender our hearts. Let's surrender all of our hearts to the Lord.